Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday service. I'm so excited for what we're going to do tonight. So just want to give you a little heads up as we move into this. We're going to have JJ do an opening prayer, and then we're going to listen to a song. This is a song that I believe is very powerful, and it'll kind of flow into our theme, and you'll see how that all comes together. But so I'll just invite you all to relax, open, and be together in this beautiful way tonight. And I'll invite JJ to go ahead and take us into an opening prayer. And then Jim will go ahead and play the song called One Power. And it's by a gentleman named Daniel Namod.
All right. Thank you, Cece. One of my favorite songs. I just love that song. Okay, so welcome everybody. I invite you to join me in tuning in as we turn within and tune into that divine presence that is within us all, that is guiding us and urging us on into higher levels of evolution as we open up and emerge into newness. And we give thanks tonight for everyone who is participating and sharing in remembering the power of our words. As we have been celebrating becoming empowered by knowing who we are, we also celebrate the remembering of how powerful our sound is. We are light and sound beings, and the sound of our word and the sound of us is a vibrational level that accelerates and accentuates the vibrational level of our beingness. And as we understand and know who we are, we give thanks that that knowingness is an action within itself. And as we know and as we speak our word, we truly are changing the world. Thank you. Thank you, God, that this is so. Thank you that this is manifesting for us because we are knowing who we are and speaking our word. And thank God for everybody who's here tonight and joining in this powerful experience of remembering. Thank you. Thank you, God. And we just let these words go, knowing that they come back to us fully expressed. So it is. Amen.
One power invisible, and you see it everywhere and every day. One power indescribable, and you speak of it with every word you say. Mysterious until you know the truth. As simple as the love inside of you. Call it God, call it Spirit, call it Jesus, call it Lord, call it Buddha, Bahá'u'lláh, angels, wings, or heaven's door. But whatever name you give it, it's all one power, can't you see? It's the power of the love in you. Different clothing, different colors, different names. The different is only dangerous when we forget that in the heart we're all the same. And we'll remember once we close our eyes to see that such distances we're never meant to be. Spirit, call it Jesus, call it Lord, call it Buddha, Baha'u'llah, Hashem or Heaven's door. It's Muhammad, it's your mind, it's your soul, or it's your sign. It's the universe, it's music, Mother Earth or Father Time. But whatever name you give it, it's all one power, can't you see? Whatever name you give it, it's the very air we breathe. Oh, it's the power of the love in you. The freedom of forgiveness, it's the sweetness of release, it's the joy of inspiration, it's the sunshine on your face, it's the birthright of all nations, it's the boundlessness of space, it's the beauty of a baby, the serenity of sleep, it's the anger we abandon for its love.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody feel that song? I don't know about you, but every time I hear that song, it's like made your heart swell, tears well up. There's something about words when they have a true tone. We've been talking about bells recently as a metaphor, but tonight the theme is really about our words. Those words in that song rang a tone. The music was part of that tone, but the words, one power. It's the love in you and me. The singing of those words are very powerful. And as we go into this theme a little bit deeper, moving away, the metaphor is a powerful thing when we think of it as ringing a true tone, and the true tone is love and truth and how we bring it through our words. And one of the most impactful books for me personally that speaks about this is The Four Agreements. So I'm going to share a little bit about that, but you'll notice too, like when you hear, this is also a big part of just about every faith tradition, really. And it gets emphasized a little bit more, but I love how Don Miguel Ruiz really dives into this piece of reality about the power of our words in such a way that is magical. So I'm sure most of you have read The Four Agreements, but we're going to just do a little recap and bring some of those truths into our awareness as we move in this evening, because they're powerful. So the first agreement in the book, he says, the first agreement is the most important one. and also the most difficult one to honor. It's so important that with just this first agreement, you will be able to transcend to the level of existence I call heaven on earth. And that first agreement is to be impeccable with your word. It sounds simple, right? It's very powerful. And yet I know for myself, this is a continual mindfulness practice. And it's something I continue to work with and refine and to try to become more and more impeccable with that. He also says, why your word? Your word is the power that you have to create. Your word is the gift that comes directly from God. The Gospel of John in the Bible, speaking of the creation of the universe, says, in the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. And so through the Word, you express your creative power. It is through the Word that you manifest everything, regardless of what language you speak. Your intent manifests through the Word. What you dream, what you feel, and what you really are will all be manifested through the Word. I love how Don Miguel Ruiz also brings in, sometimes we talk about magic, right? And in this book, he really speaks of the word as, you know, a magical tool that we have. He says, every human is a magician, and we can either put a spell on someone with our word, or we can release someone from a spell. That's a powerful concept in today's world, right? Right now, when I think of ringing the bell, what came to me, I think it was last week when we were working with this, is the word, is to be more and more integrous with the word, to speak to things in this world in a higher way. So instead of, you know, bashing the person on Facebook that is obviously not in the realm of belief as I am, but when they are speaking a spell that's making other people or another group feel less than or that they're wrong, it's like, if I speak truth to that, truth and love to it, it ends it. Anybody ever notice that in your interchange with people when you like take a breath and you speak truth and love to someone? It deactivates that emotional reaction, that tendency to speak without regard for the spell that you're casting. He says also that the word is so powerful that one word can change a life or destroy the lives of millions of people. Some years ago, one man in Germany, by the use of the word, manipulated a whole country of the most intelligent people. We all know who that gentleman was. And these are the things that I just want to bring to light this evening. We're going to have Terry share a personal story of how words, maybe a spell that was cast on her, or maybe a spell that she was released from by the care of words given by another. But just to explore personal stories of that, I think it's a powerful thing. And when we talk about a practicality of taking a metaphor that we've been working with and bringing a true tone, it really comes down to this. This is a big deal. And in this world right now where, yes, you turn on the TV, there are words flying. And there are words of manipulation flying, and there are words of fear flying. And it's up to us. Is more, we're aware, we're more conscious, we're really desiring to create this space of heaven here. So I just wanted to bring this into the container and see what moves in us tonight. as we consider these things and consider the power of our words. So I would like to go ahead and turn it over to Terry now and have her go ahead and share a story.
Well, thank you, Cece. And I love that you brought up the four agreements, because that's something I've been practicing for a couple of decades myself. So I definitely agree that being impeccable with your words is one of the more challenging of those. And my story is really about not only the power of words, but the power of group intention. As soon as you asked me to share a story, it was like this story immediately popped in my head, and I really felt like I just had to share it. So I'm going to. For several years, I taught communication courses at Arizona State University. And my favorite class to teach was public speaking, because nobody wanted to take that class, and yet it was required for all disciplines. And I loved it because it was such a challenge, because my goal was always to build trust and safety and cohesion between the 40 students I would have in my class, because that's when magic happens. And I loved being a witness and facilitating that process. So, and they had to start giving speeches right away. So like on the second day of a new semester with a new class of 40 students, you know, I pull out my little bucket in which I have 40 pieces of paper numbered 1 to 40. And I say, okay, starting next week, we all have speeches to do. We'll be doing them over 4 different days, 10 a day. And you're going to draw a number, and that'll determine your position, because if you get number 1, you get a pick first. If you get number 40, obviously you're going to get what's left over. And immediately James raises his hand and says, there's no way I can't speak the first week. There's just no way. And I said, okay. He's like, no, I just got too much going on. It just can't happen. And I said, okay. So I looked at the whole class and I said, well, here's what we're going to do. James is going to draw last. And if a number is left there in the bucket for him so that he can choose to speak whenever he likes, that means we all agree to let him have this time, you know, that we're all saying, okay, James, we'll honor your request. And if it's not there, then the class did not agree to honor it. And he was like, oh, that's never going to work. That's ridiculous. And I was like, well, let's just give it a shot. So the first 15 drew their numbers, and, you know, 2 and 3 and 4 and 5, all of them came, but not number 1. And then the next 10 did. So we'd had 25 numbers drawn. Nobody had drawn number 1. When it got to the girl who was drawing, you know, in the last 15, she's like, I don't even want to look at my number. This is just the, I can't believe number 1 hasn't come yet. And I have to wait till the end. And so the last 14 before him said, none of us are going to look at our numbers, you know? And so you could feel the energy in the class building, like, wow, what's happening here, you know? And so everyone do their numbers, and it goes back to him. There's one number left in the bucket for him. He sticks his hand in there, he draws it out, he opens it up, and he's like, oh my God, number 1. The whole class gets out of their seats and starts dancing and cheering, and it was magic. And that class, from that moment on, had so much trust and cohesion and safety with one another. To this day, I just can't even tell you what a pleasure it was to have facilitated such a moment. So that's my story. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you, Terry. Over to you, Jane.
Thank you, Cece. And thank you for the invitation to speak on this topic. The story I'd like to share is in a different range than where Terry went, because I was thinking about when you said, you know, words that can cast a spell, sometimes that spell is a curse. Sometimes it's a cloak of culture put on you. I'll tell the story. It was a number of years ago, at least 15, probably 20. But I was at an event at Sunrise where it was after the evening session, we were hanging around and listening to music, and we were in the kitchen cleaning up the dishes, but it was not like supper dishes, it was evening. And we all start dancing, and we were having, I mean, lots of fun, lots of dancing. And I was doing my sensuous, playful, flirtatious dancing with all the people who were participating. And towards the end of the time, one of the women who was there, who was an elder and someone I greatly respected, said to me, "You totally ruined the evening by being sexually inappropriate and ruining the vibration in the container." So I was truly shamed by her observation, especially because it was fun, it was playful, it was joyful. But I carried that about my sexuality, and I felt like I really needed to keep my, I guess the best way to say it is juiciness or lusciousness. It wasn't coarse to me, and it wasn't engaging with anybody. It was just flirtatious dancing. Lots of people were doing it. But because this woman had a lot of authority and also was someone who I respected at the time, it really stung. It really put me in a place of shame about who I was and my playful side as well as my sensuous side. Both those things are important to me, and both of them really got nailed. And it took me a long time to get over those words and that observation, and the relationship changed because I know it might sound terrible, but she thought I was disgusting or something, really inappropriate. So those words really stung. But I want to just tell you, the second part of the chapter was 10 years later, somehow that story came up, and someone who was in the kitchen at the time, he didn't know my version of the story, but he got up in a service and spoke about that event as if it was one of the most freeing and glorious experience he ever had, because I was being myself, and he saw the joy and the freedom and the engagement, and he said, "That day changed my life. It made me realize who I am as a fun-loving sexual being is also a spiritual being." And again, it wasn't about being coarse. It was just, he received a huge blessing from it. And then I received a huge blessing, because without him knowing about the wound of it, he spoke about it in a way that gave me back my innocence, by acknowledging my innocent joy freed him and took away the shame, because of his, not just because of his love for me, but because of his love for the spirit that I was revealing. And I can tell you, when he told the story, he didn't even name my name. I just remember sitting there going, "Oh my God, that was me, and that happened." So his words totally freed the scab in my heart. So those are the words, that powerful way in which those words wounded me, and also in which they gave me a huge gift. Thank you.
Thank you, Jane. That was a perfect story. I mean, both to get both sides of it, it was like how someone's opinion can cast a spell, and how someone speaking truth and love can break the spell. So just what a great example of that. So thank you, Jane, so much for sharing that story. So we're going to take a minute here to just go within for a moment. And I'll invite you all to close your eyes and just let's get quiet for a moment. Going into our own inner landscape, into a time of reflection, and tap into your own experience around this idea of how someone's opinion of you or words have either blessed you or cursed you in the way we're talking about it tonight. So just tap into one of those stories for yourself. If you can, go back to the time, really feel as if you're there. Allow yourself to really feel the sting or the moment of elation, depending on which experience you're tapping into right now. And I invite you just to consider how that may have changed you. Now that we've kind of tapped into that, I'll invite y'all to just come back, open your eyes. And so what we're going to do is go into listening pairs and just share about what came up for you in that experience as we did this reflection. So Jim's going to go ahead and put you everyone in listening pairs. And you'll just want to share what came up in the reflection we just did in meditation. So take it away, Jim. Welcome back. Good, we didn't land in the middle of somebody's conversation this week, like last week. We're like, awkward. So now I'd like to kind of open it up here for us to have a discussion and what is happening in your world right now, you know, that could use some uplifting words. Is there anything that's happened recently where maybe you've used uplifting words or found yourself caught in the trance, so to speak, and maybe spoke to it inaccurately, and then how it felt afterwards? So just kind of open it up, because this is a hot topic in our lives right now. We have so much going on with our political climate, with COVID, with the racial tensions in our country. So to be impeccable with our word in this circumstance is, it's an interesting tightrope to walk sometimes, and yet it's essential. So I just want to open it up for us to, share some insights or a story or whatever. So let's just open it up and talk a little bit about what's come up for us. We'll do it for maybe like 10 minutes or so.
Yuranda used to say it takes a heap of living to be able to offer the truth to people. So in that perspective, I think we're all on the path of learning how to do that and how to express the truth of ourselves in the situation. So I think that's where we're at this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.
So when you first asked the question, Cece, about the experience, two came to mind, as was true with my partner. And both of them were a blessing to me, a huge blessing to me. And both of them were 20 some odd years ago, and they're still a huge blessing to me. And so where that brought me to was the deep desire to want to be a blessing for other people, especially now in this time, to want to speak words that means something to somebody, that's a balm to their soul, that's just what they needed to hear and they didn't even know it, you know, and that it would have them feeling differently about themselves, thinking differently about themselves, and uplifting and empowering.
Thanks, Uma.
I was thinking about a recent situation just when I wasn't in the midst of friends and emissaries and family, and I was at a convenience store, and I've been in there a few times. There was a young lady working there who, they said they're cutting back hours and they have less personnel, and she can't understand why she can't get more hours and more money at a time and a half and a higher rate. And so she said, they don't think I'm worth it. So I said to her, you're definitely worth it. It's just that they don't have the money right now to pay it. And it was a simple little statement, looking straight into her eyes,
yet it changed her countenance completely, just to say, you are worth it.
Thanks, Bob. That was a good one.
Well, the emissary of Divine Light program has always been a program centered in the Word. And when you think about all of the words that have been spoken and that have been written in connection with this ministry, all of the words of Yolanda and all of the words of Martin and the words of many other leaders. I used to work in the archives department here on Sunrise Ranch, and I had an opportunity to work with the Word every day, and I got to be one of those privileged to be a proofreader of the Third Sacred School literature. So all of these words, and it just emphasizes to me that we are a ministry of the Word, how important the Word has been for us in bringing that spiritual activism that David has been talking about. And so I'm so delighted that you have put an emphasis on the Word tonight, because this is a major part of our work, to speak the Word. It's not as though it's been done completely by Martin and Yolanda and other leaders. We're all responsible for continuing to speak that Word with power and great authority.
Thank you, Jerry. I like that you said to speak it with authority. You know, when we really do begin to really understand and embody that we're all God. We're all one. And to speak as God, if you can put your head around that, to speak as God and to think of it that way is very powerful, you know? Yeah. So just wanted to point that out. I really love that you brought that in, Jerry. Thank you.
I'm sure many people remember the old adage, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. they lied. You know? Because words can hurt, and words can also heal. And so we really need to understand the power of that positivity and negativity too. So, yeah, just thought I'd throw that out there.
Thanks, JJ.
I think it's interesting that Tessa, you brought this topic this evening, because I have been really pondering about a lot of things these days, especially seeing the things that are happening now. And I remember I started thinking of what we had some years ago, the rising tide of change, and what happened during that conference, and a lot of the things that happened during that period. And I just was thinking about it, that is it that I'm not saying the right thing? Is it that I'm not just saying the right thing, but being the right thing, doing the right thing in myself, or saying the right thing that I need to say? Like when we see stuff that is happening with, especially with the racism and all those things, do we deeply in ourselves try to say the right thing, or use the right words, or thinking, what do we think to make sure that we are on that word which we're talking about, so that things can change, really change deeply? And that's something that I've been really thinking about these days. So thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. I just want to go back to what you started with earlier. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So I don't believe that passage is talking about just the spoken word. It's talking about the vibration. So you can read a lot of words, you can speak a lot of words, but what is the vibration, the tone, the expression that you are bringing? You know, going back to Terry's story, some people feel they don't have the skill for public speaking. Doesn't mean they can't bring the Word. They can bring the tone. They can bring the vibration of creation because they're bringing the Spirit of God. And if you think people who are good at doing public speaking or people who are good at writing books are the only ones capable of doing it, you're misunderstanding the use of that word. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and nothing was made that was not made by the Word. So we're making lots of things where we give our love, where we give our attention is the expression of the Word. And we're powerful beings because we know that technology.
Thank you, Jane. My brother has been quite ill in intensive care and on life support and has just come off of that, still in intensive care. But his nurse arranged for him to have a phone call with his wife today. And he was mumbling. She was very hard to understand. He said, I don't know where I am. I don't know who I am. She said, well, honey, how are they treating you? He says, well, pretty good. They only beat me up twice today. So something happened that brought him back. And he spoke more clearly when he said that. So it was interesting that what can trigger, what can heal, what can bring a person back. So it was just a beautiful story.
Thank you, Shireen. Yeah, I want to just kind of touch in and comment on what Jane brought too, because when we think of the Word, you know, it's like, yes, spoken word, yes, written word, but there's a vibration behind that, an energy behind it all. And so when we think of like the most, you know, it's not the word in and of itself, right? It's the feeling behind the word. It's the energy behind the word that really helps cast the spell, so to speak. So thank you, Jane, for bringing that in and the reality of it.
Thanks, Cece. This is Tom. I was thinking about that as well. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, stop talking. Who you are thunders over you so loudly. I can't hear a word you're saying. And that's probably true for most of the human nature-backed words. Maybe 70, 80, 90% of the words spoken in the world are falling away. They just fall over the edge of experience, have no impact. But at the other end of the spectrum, if the world of vibration can find a word that's accurate to its meaning, like Shekinah, like Elohim, if it's spoken with sacredness by one who knows who they are and what it means, it changes things. The vibration is looking for the word that's accurate to it. And when those coincide, there is a power that goes beyond the immediate perception of the conscious mind. It's not a definition that the word carries. It's an eternal power because it describes and fits the vibration. And we have that power. It's not just that they're magical and sacred words. Some people get carried away with that. They have no meaning if the person doesn't live the meaning. But they have incredible meaning if there's a legacy of spirit moving through them. I remember when I first heard the mother tongue, or when I first heard the word Shekinah or whatever, it wasn't a definitional word. It was a transformative word that carried a current of the ages with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. It's been so good to hear from everyone around this topic. It's like I said, it's just been moving with me so powerful since we started talking about bells and ringing the tone and what is mine to bring. And it's like the word, you know, and in reality, it's like, isn't that what we all have to bring? That, you know, we all have different gifts to bring, but the word is a gift and a power that we all share. We are human beings, and it is a power to manifest, to create, to bless, to uplift. And so I'm just really grateful to be here tonight talking about this and imagining, like, gosh, what would happen if we all got really mindful about our words? Not just, I mean, I'm not talking to this group. I mean, like, humanity. What if we really got mindful about our words? what would change then, you know? And that's transformation, transmutation. And so I am just grateful to be with a bunch of people that know the power in that. So what I'd like to do now, I wanted to play another song for everyone. This is by an artist named Toby Mack. And I heard this song first a couple years ago, and it's a pop song. So, you know, it's got a little bit more, you know, upliftment and beat to it, but the words are powerful. He's a, you know, more of a contemporary Christian artist, but I love this song. And it's called Speak Life. So to speak life, to have life and to have it more abundantly, that's why we're here. So I just wanted to bring in this song just for our enjoyment and to further anchor this idea of speaking life, speaking truth and love.
Some days life feels perfect, other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy, amazing, we can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable, broken, live or die. So speak life. Gets twisted, other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Who can live or die? So speak life. You say, raise your thoughts a little higher. Use your words to inspire. Joy will fall like rain when you speak life with the things you say. Lift your head a little higher. Spread the love like fire. Hope will fall like rain when you speak life with the words you say. So speak life.
That song just makes you want to speak life, doesn't it? So thank you all. I'd like to open it up now as we begin to close our time together. It's like, let's speak some life to our world right now. Blessings in the affirmative. At first I was going to do this by chat, but I think I'm going to just trust in the perfect flow of this moment as we all put our hands out and speak life to the world that we are in. And I'll invite you all to speak, just listen to your intuition, chime in, and speak a word of truth and love for our world.
We are all powerful beings.
Dear one, all is well.
Peace and comfort to our world.
Keep coming, beloved one.
Love is all we need.
Love is always the answer.
The light is bringing truth.
Be true to yourself.
This too shall pass.
Only love is real.
Together we'll make it.
Love is showing us the way.
Ring true.
The breath of the earth is clean and vital once again.
Bless your heart.
We're alive, so we can speak life.
I know that love conquers all. Love heals, and love is who and what we are.
Trust in the capacity of love.
Your love is a balm to the brokenhearted.
Let's just radiate this love out into the world, knowing that wherever it goes, wherever it lands, it is bringing peace, it is bringing harmony, it is bringing balance, it is bringing life. Thank you all for that time. So grateful for this evening that we've shared, and I would just invite us all to take this intention, a world that needs us to speak life consistently, and to also be mindful of the inner conversations that we are having as we move forward. It's all a part of it. And so I just want to bless everyone here tonight. I want to thank you all for being here and coming and bringing your blessed heart, your words and your stories. And yes, let's speak life.
Thank you, Cece.
Thank you,
Cece.
Thank you,
Cece.
Thank you,
Cece. Thank you,
everyone.
Thank you, Cece. Love you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ruth.
Thank you.
Love you.
Thank you.
To see. Thanks, JJ.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Sweet dreams.